Mother's Day is a unique day in the life of the church. Because there are a lot of pastors that don't do anything about Mother's Day. It's not a special service, neither is Father's Day. And I asked a guy about that not too long ago, and he said the reason he doesn't do anything about Mother's Day in his church, he said, listen, that's a secular thing. There's nothing in the Bible that says you celebrate Mother's Day. There's nothing in the Bible that says that you celebrate Father's Day. I mean, you know, it's like 4th of July. I mean, that's not in the Scriptures. I don't agree with that, because I think what we do in honoring our mothers this morning is a very important part of our lives. What it is that mothers do and how they treat us and how they example love for us is important today, because it needs to be leaving our homes. It needs to be leaving our churches. It needs to be in the community everywhere we are. Amen. The love of a mother, yes. Unconditional, yes. Sacrificial. That's what a mother's love is. But before I get into all of that, I got to do something here first. And Matt, I was thinking about you, brother. I should have done this last week and for you, but you weren't here, so it's not my fault. All right? That's completely your fault. No, they had a sick little one at home. Thank you for keeping him there. That was a good decision on your part. I want to help you, though, guys, because you see, Mother's Day and your wife's birthday or your girlfriend's birthday, those are probably two of the few times that we actually go shopping by ourselves. It's dangerous. Whenever I go to Wegmans, bad move, first of all. Never go to Wegmans. And don't go to Wegmans hungry, for crying out loud. You go in for, a thing of milk and bread, you come out with $200 worth of stuff. When I do that, I go home and I say to my wife when I walk in, listen, in my defense, I was unsupervised. What am I going to do? So guys, I want to help you a little bit with shopping for your wives as a part of Mother's Day or whatever, whoever it is that you're buying for. And so what I want to share with you this morning just quickly is what not to buy on Mother's Day. I should see a lot of pens and papers out right now. You guys need to be writing this stuff down. Because again, it's about the only time that we go shopping that we're not at a gun show or a boat show or looking for something like that. And let's face it, guys, you probably have experienced a few moments of frigid response based on a buying decision that you made inadvertently. So that's why I want to help you. Think about these things. What not to buy on Mother's Day? Number one, fellas, don't buy anything that plugs into the wall. Anything with electricity is utilitarian. It's unitarian. Utilitarian. Hang on, I'm going to get this. Utilitarian. That was the word. Nothing that plugs in, guys. So if it's got a plug, walk away. Don't get that. Second thing, do not buy any clothing that involves sizes. Don't do that. You've got a 1 in 10,000 chance of getting it right, which means the other 9,999, she's not happy. Vance, I'm preaching to it here. Because you're going to walk in with this thing, and she's going to say, do you really think that this is my size? Do I look like this to you? And you can't go too small, because she's going to pull it out and go, so what? This is for a teenager? I haven't worn a size 5 since college. Write this down, guys. Number 3, do not buy jewelry. Do not buy jewelry. 2 reasons. Number 1, the jewelry that she wants, you can't afford. Number 2, the jewelry you can afford, she doesn't want it. So don't try to buy jewelry. I always want to try one of those rings here with a little whistle on it. I like those things. You can get them with little things involved in them. Okay. Number 4, I'm helping you boys write this down. Never buy anything sports related. Don't do it. Don't buy a driver, Clayton, or a putter, and somehow thinks she's going to be fooled into thinking that's for her. She'll see through that faster than you can make your tea time. Don't do it. Here's the last one. Finally, do not spend too much. Don't overspend on this. Because as you hand it to her, you know what she's thinking? How does he think we're going to afford this? We're not paying now for electricity this month. How is this going to work? But don't spend too little, because you know what else she's thinking. So this is all I mean to him, huh? This is it. Fellas, there's only one answer. You got to take her out to eat, and you have to let her pick the restaurant. Very important. If you take her to a sports bar so you can watch the game while you're eating, you're done. Do not come to me. All right? It's not my fault. It's very important stuff. A lot of you don't think you get to hear this stuff in a church. It's life lessons. That's what I'm doing. The idea of Mother's Day was born in a small Methodist church in Grafton, West Virginia. It was 1876, and the nation was still healing from the wounds of the Civil War, which had just ended less than 10 years prior to that. And it was while teaching a Memorial Day lesson in that church that a woman by the name of Mrs. Ann Reeves Jarvis began thinking of all the mothers that were still suffering a great deal during that time. And so as she was teaching that service, she thought, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could have a Memorial Day for the mothers, something to honor them? Well, this made a great impact on one of her 11 children, Barb, one of her 11 children, also by the name of Anna. And she remembered this. And so years later, on the day that her mother died, she determined that she was going to help create some way to honor her. And so it was on May the 12th, 1907, that the local observance was first held in West Virginia. And it later found itself being brought into the city of Philadelphia by all people by the name of John Wanamaker. Now, you probably recognize that name. He founded Wanamaker's Department Store. It was one of the first of its kind and also the largest in the country. Wanamaker was also a very devout Christian. So much so that they were not open. They did not advertise on Sundays because that was the Lord's Day. So he poured money into this to help to make it happen. And then by 1910, just a few years later, Mother's Day was being celebrated in 45 of the then 46 states that comprised this country. It was also being celebrated in Puerto Rico, Hawaii, Canada, Mexico. And Mrs. Jarvis was delighted at the fact that now not only her mothers, but mothers all across the country were beginning to be recognized. And it was on May the 8th, 1914, that President Woodrow Wilson declared that the second Sunday in May would be a day, as he said, for displaying the American flag and for the public expression of love and reverence for the mothers of this country. Now, if I could have any wish for this day, because see, Katerina and I are blessed. We have our mothers with us still, which is a great honor for us. But my mother's in South Carolina. And so if I could have one wish, it would be for her to be here on this day. And then if she were here, I'd probably have her read the scripture for us this morning. That would be great. I would love that. I'd probably cry. I can't get her here, but I can do one out of two. And so if you have your Bibles, turn to the first book of Kings, the third chapter. First Kings, the third chapter, that's in the Old Testament. And this is my mother reading our scripture for us this morning. 1 Kings, the third chapter, verses 16 to 28.
Sometime later, two prostitutes came to the king to have an argument settled. "Please, my lord," one of them began, "this woman and I live in the same house. I gave birth to a baby while she was with me in the house. 3 days later, this woman also had a baby. We were alone. There were only two of us in the house. But her baby died during the night when she rolled over on it. Then she got up in the night and took my son from beside me while I was asleep. She laid her dead child in my arms and took mine to sleep beside her. And in the morning, when I tried to nurse my son, he was dead. But when I looked more closely in the morning light, I saw that it wasn't my son at all." Then the other woman interrupted, "It certainly was your son, and the living child is mine." "No," the first woman said, "the living child is mine, and the dead one is yours." And so they argued back and forth before the king. Then the king said, let's get the facts straight. Both of you claim the living child is yours, and each says that the dead one belongs to the other. All right, bring me a sword. So a sword was brought to the king. Then he said, cut the living child in two and give half to one woman and half to the other. Then the woman who was the real mother of the living child and who loved him very much cried out, oh no, my lord, give her the child. Please do not kill him. But the other woman said, all right, he will be neither yours nor mine. Divide him between us. And the king said, do not kill the child, but give him to the woman who wants him to live, for she is his mother. When all Israel heard the king's decision, the people were in awe of the king, for they saw the wisdom God had given him for rendering justice.
We most often regard this passage in 1 Kings as a shining example of Solomon's great wisdom. And we know that when Solomon was made king, God appeared to him and said, what do you want? I'll give you anything. How would you like that? A blank check from Almighty God. What would you ask for? Solomon said, in essence, Lord, I'm a baby. I have no idea what to do here. Wouldn't that be refreshing to hear somebody say that just once? I don't know what I'm doing. Help me. And so he said to God, I'm just a child. I don't know how to raise this nation. What am I supposed to do? He said, Lord, just give me the wisdom. Give me the discernment and the insight to be able to rule these people justly. And the Bible tells us that God basically said, Solomon, good choice. He said, and I am going to give you that wisdom, Solomon, but I'm also going to give you all the things you didn't ask for. I'm going to give you the fame. I'm going to give you the money. I'm going to give you the power, and there's going to be peace in your land. That's because God loves us more than we can ever ask or think. But you see, this story is not just about Solomon's wisdom. It's a Mother's Day story. Now, you may be going, wait a minute. How can this be a Mother's Day story? What does this have to do with being a mother? Because it isn't about the traditional thinking of what a mother is. Neither of these two women are the 1950s picture of the mom. You know the one. You're doing your housework and you're vacuuming in a pleated skirt with a blouse, perfect hair and makeup, and a strand of pearls. Birds are singing. Children are looking at you with adoring eyes. No, that's not what this story is. What do we know about these women? First of all, they're prostitutes. Now, prostitution in that time was looked at much in the same way that it is now. It's not a desired profession by any means, but it was certainly tolerated in that day, not for the least reason of that the men made the rules. You see the connection there. And so prostitution came about because some women were slaves and they were forced to have to live that way so their master could make money on them. Some were not married and had no other way to support themselves. And some were widows, women that had children that had to live that life because they had no husband. And in that day, if you had no husband, ladies, you had nothing. And see, Jesus had such compassion for the widows. Do you remember what he said so many times? He said, if you want to come into my kingdom, he said, it's not about the prestige. It's not about acting like the Pharisees act, walking around all dressed up like peacocks, everybody looking, making sure that everybody knows I'm very important. He said, no, it's not about that. It's about visiting those that are sick. It's about visiting those in prison. It's about taking care of the widows. In Mark 12:40, Jesus said, talking again about the Jewish leaders, he said, they devour widows' houses, and for a show they make lengthy prayers. These men will be punished most severely. And see, that's because the heart was wrong. The Pharisees were not sinning by their actions alone. They were sinning by the fact that their hearts were not right before God. That's why, my friends, everything that we do, regardless of what it looks like on the outside, can only be blessed and honored by those around us and by God if our hearts are right. So both of these women we read, Mom read, both of these women conceived a child by a man, and the men are no longer around. So they're right back where they were before, except now it's been complicated. One of the babies is dead, and one is alive. You've got a grieving mother, and you've got a schemer. You've got a conniver. One thing is certain, their lives are not moving in the right direction. They're not looking at anything of their future that's going to be better. And so Solomon has to get involved. And I wonder, why would Solomon have even talked to them in the first place? A woman could not approach a king, certainly not by herself. You remember when David's mother, Bathsheba, came to him to speak to him towards the end of her life? It says she came in and she prostrated herself before him on the ground, and he had to acknowledge her and allow her to come. Otherwise, she'd have been put to death for entering there without his permission. We've got two prostitutes before the king, but Solomon listens to them. Why? Because of his compassion, because of his heart. And it wasn't a compassion that he himself had developed. It was a part of the wisdom. It was a part of all that it was that God had given him. And why did God give it to him? Because Solomon asked for it. Do you know how much we lose out in our lives, church, because we just simply don't ask God? We don't go to God with our issues and our needs. Not until it's long past time and I've exhausted everything I could possibly do, then I go, okay, what do you think? Can I get some help here? How many of our prayers are that way? If you think about it, how many times do we go before God after we've exhausted every other possible avenue, when in reality what we should be doing is completely the opposite? We go to God first and just ask him to come, to intervene, whatever the situation is. And then when we do that, he will give us the strategies. He will give us the knowledge of what it is that needs to take place. But we need to ask him. We live in a world right now where there are a lot of hurting people. I would say probably there's more pain and anguish right now than at any other time, probably in our lifetimes. We see the things that are going on around us, and it just does not seem to be settling down much at all. And this is not about what's going on in the news. It's not about all those things. We could talk about those things till we're blue in the face. I'm not here to argue into thinking a particular way. But what I am here to do is to make sure that we understand that just as the love of a mother is sacrificial, so is the love that we were given by God. It was sacrificial through the death of his son, Jesus. And see, when we keep those things at the front of our minds, when we keep those things preeminent in our hearts, the issues that we're dealing with around us, I can promise you, will take on a very different look, a very different feel even. I've shared this with couples that I have married. By the way, you've got like less than a week, right? BJ and Cheryl, getting married on Saturday? You want to do this Saturday? Should I show up on Saturday? All right, I'll be there on Saturday. I have shared with a lot of couples that if they go around and they ask different people that are there at their wedding, give me a piece of advice. I tell them, I say, you're going to get as many different pieces of advice as there are people here. And then I share them mine. And they're very simple. I always tell them the first thing is always think the best of each other, no matter what the circumstances are. Always stand with each other. I always tell them, listen, don't sweat the small stuff. And by the way, most all of it is small stuff. But here's the third thing I tell them. Laugh a lot. You know, laughter is a gift of God. And laughter changes the environment of circumstances in your life. I mean, you can be very intense about something, but all you have to do is just one of you crack a smile or start to laugh. Now, you got to do it at the right time, fellas. It's a little dangerous, I know, but I think it's worth the risk. It changes the environment. It changes the atmosphere of what's going on. And you know what really changes it? If you start to learn to laugh at yourself a little bit and not take yourself so seriously all the time. Well, I know what that does to circumstances, but what God does is infinitely beyond that. And that's why we go to Him, is to recognize that the love of God in our lives that is often demonstrated in and through our mothers is the exact same love that we should also have for the people in our lives. Even strangers, just being nice to somebody. Okay, the other thing too about these two women, and I think this is also important, is that these were not perfect women by any means. And there's also no such thing as a perfect mother or a perfect father. Parents are not perfect. We make mistakes. Those things happen. But when it's done in love, you can see beyond those things and recognize that, listen, it's with the best interest at heart. Yeah, that wasn't the right call. It wasn't the right thing to do. The timing was off from that. I've had conversations with my mother over the years, and who was I talking to? Roxanne. We were just deciding that isn't it amazing how as we get older, our parents get so much smarter. Isn't that amazing how that works? Because when we're teenagers, our parents are the biggest idiots walking the face of the earth, aren't they? I know you guys never felt that way because Tara's grown wonderful. But when we get older, suddenly the things we see them doing, the things that they insisted were a part of our lives, suddenly begin to make a lot more sense. And so I've had a chance to talk with my mother and even with my father about these things, and I recognize, no, they were not perfect, but they love me with the love of a parent. Okay, back to the story. The situation, this one is about as far from perfect as you can get. You've got two women living under the same roof. They both have the same occupation. They're both prostitutes. You got two babies. One is now dead. The other's alive, but they're fighting over it. He's mine. No, he's mine. Solomon knew in the wisdom that God had given him that the real mother would do absolutely anything to protect her son. Let's face it, folks, that's if you're a parent, that's how you feel. You'll do anything. I've said to, I forget who I was talking to, I don't talk about getting shot a lot. That's not a common conversation I have. But I was telling them, I said, I've got about a handful of people that I would take a bullet for without even thinking. And most all of them have my same last name. Because family, you do that. You do that for family. You don't even think about it. Solomon knew this woman was not going to let anything happen to her son. And that's exactly what happened. Solomon set the situation up. He said, divide the child in half, give one to half, one to the other. And the mother said, my Lord, give him to her. I'd rather not have him and him be whole than to lose him altogether. And of course, we even are sensitive about Mother's Day for people. It's hard. If your mom is not still with you, today can be a little difficult. I understand that. Maybe you didn't have a particularly good relationship with your mother. Those things happen. I understand that. This may not be the easiest day for you. But we do honor our mothers on a day like this, and I think we should do it always. Not just because it's something nice to do and it makes them feel good. Why do we honor our mothers? First and foremost, it's because God told us to. God told us to honor our mothers. When Moses was on Mount Sinai, and he received the Ten Commandments from God. You can read this in the 10th chapter of Exodus. The Ten Commandments given, this is the foundation for all moral behavior for mankind. Still is. Nine of them were directives. You do this, you don't do that. But one of them has a promise. It's the only one. This is the 12th verse of the 10th chapter of Exodus. It says, honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving to you. It's the only one with a promise. So let's figure this now. Step beyond that. If you don't honor your mother and father, you don't receive that blessing. It's that simple. You say, man, you don't know what my mom did. You don't know what my dad did. It doesn't say in here if they're good parents. It doesn't say if they did it perfectly right. You honor your mother and you honor your father. And when you do that, you will receive the blessing of God. You see, to be a father, and for that matter, for certainly to be a mother, but also a father, it requires sacrificial love. Just like this woman was willing to do. She was willing to give up, sacrifice her son in order for what would be best for him. That's sacrificial love. And we see that demonstrated several times throughout the scripture. You look at a guy like Abraham. Now, this is not the kind of a parent story that you would probably tell unless you understand what was going on. God said to Abraham, take your son Isaac. He's your only son by your wife Sarah, and I want you to take him up to Mount Moriah, and I want you to sacrifice him to me. Kill him, is what God was saying to him. Now, never mind the fact that God had already promised Abraham, out of the seed of your son I'm going to grow a nation. So think about that for a second. If Abraham sacrifices his son, there isn't going to be any nation. So what was happening here? How was that going to play out? I don't know what Abraham was thinking, but I knew that Abraham was a good enough father that he wanted to demonstrate to his son, you do what God tells you to do regardless. You know what I think Abraham was thinking? One of two things was going to happen. Either God's going to make a way that I don't have to do this, or if I do sacrifice him, God will bring him back to life. That's simple. Because what did he tell the guys when he left them? He said, take care of this stuff. My son and I are going to go up, and we will return. Abraham knew somehow God was going to honor his promise, but he was willing to do that as a godly parent. You look at somebody like Hannah. Hannah was a woman who had no children, and in biblical times, you needed to have children to be a woman of true value and worth. That was those days. And Hannah didn't have any children, so she prayed to God, and God gave her a son by the name of Samuel. Because Hannah had said, if you answer my prayer, I will dedicate him back to you and he will spend his whole life serving you. And that's what she did, sacrificially caring for her son, honoring the promise she made. Jacob was a loving father to his 12 sons. Now, he wasn't a perfect father because he showed favoritism. You remember Joe? He's got that sharp-looking Joseph Abud coat walking around there. Sharp coat. So much so that his brother said, no. Now, not only do you not get to keep the coat, but we're unloading you. We're getting rid of you altogether. That wasn't Joseph's fault. That was his father's fault for loving him more than he did his brothers. But Jacob knew enough to pour into his sons who God was, because it was his 12 sons that would become then the 12 tribes of Israel and create the nation of the people of God. And then, of course, Mary and Joseph dedicated Jesus at the temple. Came and brought Jesus, just as they were supposed to dedicate him to God. So sacrificial love, being a good parent in that way, is all throughout the scriptures. But it takes all shapes and forms. And that's why I believe this morning that we should see our mothers, remember our mothers if they're not with us, with love. Again, Pastor Dave, you don't know what my mother did. That's not what's most important here. It's about loving them in the way that God loves us. That's called agape love, because it's unconditional. It does not matter. It's not the world's love. The world's love today is, what have you done for me? How do I feel about you in this moment? There have been times I never stopped loving my sons. Not once. I have two boys. I've never stopped loving my sons. I didn't like them a whole lot sometimes. There were times I didn't like my kids for whatever reason. Not much. I had good boys. Good boys. That was like an Italian thing, wasn't it? Yo, good boys. I had good boys. They're good. Slap them. But I never stopped loving them, because agape love does not take what you have done for a person as the reason why you love them. So, husbands, you love your wives as Christ loved the church. That means you give everything to them. Wives, you love your husbands unconditionally. We love our children. And on Mother's Day, I think it just brings into our hearts and our minds more closely, more in focus, the fact that our mothers have been a blessing in our lives. Now, I know many of you here, your moms are no longer with you, but we're still grateful. Thank you, God, for the impact, for the input that she had in my life. Even perhaps this point of your life, forgiving your mother for some things that happened. Forgiving her so that you can be free of the containment of unforgiveness. This is a day to make that happen. So how do you honor your mother on a day like this? What's the best way that you can do that? And with this, I'll close. Well, certainly cards and dinner and gifts and all of that kind of thing, those play a part in this, but they're secondary to what is most important. I believe the best way that you can honor your mother is to be willing and loving to the people around you through the legacy that she gave to you. Be willing to share that same type of unconditional love that she gave to you. Share that with the people in your lives. Yeah, you want to share that at home, obviously very important, but how about at the office? Can you share it with those people? Can you care about them unconditionally, even though you work with a guy that you walk in the, and you haven't even finished your first cup of coffee and the guy's on your nerves? You want to say, get away from me. Can you love that person? I was driving this week. You knew this was coming, didn't you? I was driving this week, and this dear loved one pulled out in front of me, made me slam my brakes on in the rain. I had to hit my brakes. And of course, I looked in my mirror. How many people were behind me for 3 miles? Zero. Nobody. Now, you see, I'm not going to have a conversation with that person, but what does that do to me? What does that do to my mind, my heart, my temperament? How does that make me feel? Can I experience something like that yet because of God's love, because of a mother's love? It's okay. It's all right. You do that with your children, don't you? It's okay. I'm so glad I get to say this now. Jeff and Christy were sharing with me that this weekend, poor Grayson was not feeling well at all. Poor Gray got sick. She said it looked like a crime scene in the bedroom. That's what, without getting any more graphic than that. Now, does that mean they stop loving him? Of course not. It has nothing to do with that. You wouldn't even want to be close to him in that moment. There's probably not a lot of hugging going on. But it isn't about what things happen to us. It is about understanding and recognizing that agape love is unconditional. It's free. It's overflowing. God is not enough for us, my friends. He's too much. God's love is too much. And it needs to be overflowing out of our lives and impacting the people around us. Exodus 10:12, honor your mother and your father so that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our mothers today. Thank you, God, for those that gave us life. And Father, I thank you that in spite of the circumstances of life, and many of them very difficult, it does not change that as a mother, she's had an impact in that life. That there is a giving of that, Lord, that does not change, regardless of the circumstances. And Lord, you have blessed each and every one of us with a mother. And so we thank you for them. We pray blessing over them. God, there are many here that their mothers are no longer with them. I pray, God, that they're all with you. But Lord, we can still remember, think fondly, honor them with our minds and with our hearts. And even the words that we say. But Father, all of that love comes from you. And it is that love that each and every one of us have available to us this morning. And so God, again, I pray that we would honor our mothers. We would honor the legacy that they have given us by sharing that love everywhere that we go. May people see that you are present in our lives. Not only by the things we do and the words we say, but perhaps just as importantly, the things we don't do, the things we do not say, the reactions that we do not have because we're your child. And so, Father, I pray your blessing over each and every person here today. I pray, God, that as we leave this place, that you would keep us safe, that you would watch over us, and that every opportunity that you present to us, that we will be a shining example of a sacrificial, unconditional love by your hands through our mothers, through our fathers, through all those that we care about. We love you, Father, and we thank you for your love. It's in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray all of these things. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you folks. Thank you so very much for being here. I invite you to come back and be with us again next week. Hug some necks. Guys, do not forget what I shared with you at the beginning of this service. Very important. And if you want, you can have my notes.